The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is your host, Tia. This is your host, Tia. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Top 10.
Why?
Geek Vibe Nation.
Geek Vibe Nation.
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 The Top 10.
The Top 10.
The Top 10.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Top 10 by Geek Vibes Nation. As that intro just stated, I'm your host, Tia, and today we are going to be recapping the Top 10 Moments of iZombie. Now, this has been a show that I have been a fan of for years. When it originally started, I did not watch the first season. I remember them promoting it on the CW, but the name actually kind of, I guess deterred me a little from watching it, and boy, was I wrong. If there's anyone out there who felt the same way as I did, do not let the title of the show steer you away. It is a fantastic show that you should be watching. And unfortunately, in a few days, we're going to be seeing the fifth and final season come out on the CW, which I cannot believe. I guess we should be happy that it has gone on as long as it has, but still very sad. It seems like a show that the CW doesn't seem too concerned with kind of focusing on. Obviously, they have their DC shows and they have Supernatural, which actually is also coming to an end after 15 years. But iZombie has just been one of those shows that I've always thoroughly enjoyed. But as we kind of move on into this show, I do have to announce my guest host for this show, because it seems like I'm like one of the only people at Geek Vibes who watches iZombie. So I asked the amazing Robin and Steph from the iZombie podcast to be joining me. And I believe I have either Robin or Steph on the line right now. Steph, Robin, you guys there?
I am. I'm sorry.
It is.
How does this sound? Does this sound okay?
You actually sound perfect.
Okay, because I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, it's no problem. I kind of make a joke that every time I do the top 10, there always seems to be a bit of technical difficulties for me. So I completely just sympathize with that. But thank you, Steph, for being on today. As I was saying before you hopped on, I asked you and Robin from the iZombie podcast to join us just because I really wanted to get this through with iZombie coming out with its fifth and final season in only a few days. And I have to ask you before we get Robin on the phone, how do you feel that the CW really has not been giving us a whole lot of promotion for this final season?
Oh, you know, that's just the way it goes. When a show is brand new, they put a lot behind it, and then, you know, they're focusing on their new shows. They don't, you know, care about shows that are in their final season. They're just burning it off.
That's what it seems like. And I'm wondering now that they've announced that Supernatural is coming out with its final season next year, if there's going to be a whole lot of promotion for them, because we've obviously seen this is a show that has lasted well over a decade. So I'm just wondering if it's going to be the same, or it just seems a little like they tend to forget that iZombie exists, even though we have, as I call it, a tiny but mighty fan base.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Before, again, we get Robin on, do you want to tell us a little about your podcast that everyone should be listening to?
iZombie podcast with Robin and Steph. It's the number one iZombie podcast. Everybody should be listening to it.
You definitely should be listening to it. And with that being said, we have Robin on the phone. Welcome, Robin.
Hi, I wasn't sure if you heard me or not. How you doing?
Doing very well. Yeah, I just switched it over, so I just kind of wanted Steph to finish promoting you guys because you were probably one of the first podcasts that I've listened to, and I very much enjoyed it always. Yeah. But you know what? Now that we got both of you on, let's kind of get into it. So 10 iZombie moments. I'll obviously guide you guys through as this is your first top 10 with us. So I'm going to actually start with you, Robin, if you want to give us your number 10 moment of iZombie.
Oh, man. So we
throwing you into the fire.
Well, I mean, between Steph and I, we wrote down about 29. I don't know how ranked these are. They're actually not ranked at all. Is that okay?
That's perfectly fine. We always start with it, but then you'll notice it's kind of everywhere, these lists. So we always say, yes, it's a top 10, but it's not an in-order top 10.
Oh, good, good. Well, I mean, the first one I had to write down was when Liv finds her calling at the end of the pilot. She's so depressed throughout the whole thing because she doesn't know what to do with her life. But she finds meaning in working this case, investigating the death of Lady Gaga, maybe? it's somebody writing under the name Stephanie Germanata. helps Clive with this case and realizes that she can use her powers for good. She can eat brains and get these memories and use basically the victim's experiences to help her figure out who actually killed the person. So the whole ending speech where she's talking about like how she wanted to help people and all she needed was some hope that there's a future that I fit into somehow, she says. And she hasn't been able to sleep like this entire episode. And as the episode ends, she's finally able to get some rest.
Yeah, it is a fantastic way, first of all, to start off this list and the show itself. Kind of delving into the fact that Liv has been quite depressed since becoming a zombie, which, let's admit it, we probably would be depressed as well. And it's nice to show that once she kind of opened up herself a little to not only being friends with Robbie, but also helping out Clive, even though at first he thinks that she's pretty much just a psychic, it's really nice that she finds her calling and realizes that even though she is in a pretty bad situation, she can make the best of it. So I do really like this choice, Robin. Steph, do you want to comment on Robin's choice right now?
Oh, yeah, that was like the show's, what do you call it? It's like a mission statement there.
Mission statement, yeah.
Yeah, it just wrapped up the whole show in a nutshell.
Yeah, it pretty much gave us what we were going to be expecting from the series moving forward, that this is going to be Liv in her mission to somehow use her, I guess, powers for good and helping out Clive and everything like that. So, yeah, definitely a great way to start the series, to start this podcast, Liv finding her calling. So, great choice, Robin.
Thank you.
Steph, do you want to give us your number 9 iZombie moment?
Okay, in season 1, in Astro Burger, when Liv has eaten the brain of somebody that's paranoid and delusional, and the whole episode, like we're in season 1, we're forgetting why Major and Liv should be together, so they give us this like fantasy moment of Liv telling Major, you know, that she's a zombie and he's not mad at her anymore, and they get close again, and then we realize that like Johnny Frost is he's not real when he's talking to her, and so then that makes us realize that while Liv is talking to Major, that wasn't real, and that was just such a great moment. Like, I love that episode.
Isn't that Scott E's brain that she eats?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That was such a play on the mind, that episode, because I did not see that Johnny Frost was actually an illusion of hers this whole time. I was like, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And that little fantasy that she had with Major, and he's totally cool with her being a zombie, and then all of a sudden, didn't he say, like, there's zombies and I'm going to kill all of them or something like that. I was like, oh, poor Liv. I mean, that whole first season was just like a kick in her heart, basically finding out that Major knew about zombies, and not only that, he just despised them and he was going to take all of them out. But her on those like Astro Burger brains was actually pretty funny. I really enjoyed that. The first season, it was very charming in that, you know, first season sort of way, and just really poor Liv. But Robin, what do you think about Steph's choice and poor Liv just kind of being delusional this whole episode?
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember just going, what? When, you know, Johnny Frost, the delusion of him like melts away as she discovers that he's actually on the TV and that's not really Johnny. And you know, then finding out, you know, there's this video that has her eating a brain that's right after the boat party, and Major shows up with the stolen brain saying he's going to kill all the zombies. So it's like she had that amazing, like, accepting moment with Major earlier, but it wasn't actually, it was just, you know, what she had a delusion of. And now he's actually someone that she might have to be worried about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kind of piggybacking on that whole, you know, Liv has to be a little now wary of Major, I kind of want to jump into my pick, which is the number 8 pick, because it kind of greatly correlates with Steph's pick and what you were saying, Robin, but it's Major shooting up Meet Cute.
Because
it's such a great scene. And, you know, first of all, with someone who has the name Major Lilywhite, you know, it's not the manliest or strongest of names. And he, you know, it's nice that they made him, what, a social worker, I believe. And he's helping
for
kids.
For Health and Shelter.
Right,
one of the best names ever.
Oh, can we just take a moment to admit that they come up with the best puns in this show? I mean, everything.
Oh,
Liv Moore, Chase Graves, Fillmore Graves. Oh, just
Meet Cute.
Meet Cute. It's just amazing. I'm so going to miss these writers. But
yeah, you know, we just finished watching Veronica Mars, and, you know, the moment that I realized that one of the restaurants in the food court was Spaghetti Western, I was like, I love this so much.
Really quick, how do you guys feel that they're actually bringing back Veronica Mars? And do you hope to see some of the iZombie actors on Veronica Mars?
I'm really excited
about
the return
that.
Of I'm hoping that the iZombie actors do show up. They have to. I mean, unless, you know, I don't know what their schedules are like, but gosh, it'd be great to have them on. I mean, both Rose and Robert Buckley were on Play It Again, Dick, so they have to at least get, you know, Rose and Robert Buckley back.
I'm very much hoping so. I know that Raul is actually playing the voice of he's playing the voice of a character, I think Scarecrow, in the Harley Quinn animated series for DC Universe. So, but I'm not sure how much of his time that is actually going to take since it's voice acting. But yes, very much hope to see some of them on.
Well, we do know that, pour one out for Isabel. But the actress, Isabella Vidovic, is going to be on Veronica Mars. So that's cool.
That's awesome. Definitely. So mm-hmm. if we see that trend, hopefully we'll see another one. But, so major shooting up meet cute. Just love this scene from a character who is very much like docile the whole entire series, and then kind of watching Major spiral out of control as he's mm-hmm. discovering the existence of zombies, and everyone's kind of calling him crazy at this point. And if we mm-hmm. even remember, he was with that one girl who was like, all right, you're getting your, face beat up every single day. You're talking about that there's a guy who was shot and then suddenly he's walking around again. I need to leave. And he shoots up Miku in such a just badass manner, the way he goes in on that. And I am a huge Blaine fan, and I was worried for Blaine because I was like, this guy actually might kill him. Major was not playing around. It was great.
What's great is that, Blaine has him locked up in the freezer for, an entire episode, and is torturing him and, showing him one of his teenage runaways that he just fed him the brain of. And he does this clever escape where he, pees on the floor, it freezes, the guy comes in, slips and falls, he knocks him out with a leg of lamb, and then he gets out of there. But then he just opens his trunk, Dukarmasar fires up on the stereo inside VQ, and he struts back in because he's going to take them all down. It's amazing. It was one of those fist-pumping moments of iZombie for sure.
Yeah, because his life has been turned upside down, mm-hmm. and he's, determined to figure this out.
Yeah, he is just a man on a mission, and I have to say I loved the episode where Blaine had him locked in that freezer because he's trying to, feed him soup. And, of course, the poor runaway who Major cared for, and I think that was really gruesome for, a CW mm-hmm. show. That was incredibly gruesome. I loved in the shootout where that lady who was the chef, and she's like, oh, I'm just, the chef, please don't hurt me, blah, blah, and then she goes for it. I'm like, he was going to let you go, you dumb person.
There's this whole thing where, we were wrestling with, okay, so in normal zombie culture, you just kill zombies. But these are zombies that it's a virus. They've gotten taken over by a virus where all they can eat is brains. So they have to find a way to get brains. But so you were kind of wrestling with, okay, for instance, in The Exterminator, when Liv has to put Marcy out of her misery when she attacks Ravi as a Romero. And for, a while after that, I was doing this hashtag on Twitter going justice for Marcy because, she was turned, she was hungry, she was going after Ravi, but it's not like it's her fault, She was just left in there and went, stark raving mad. But in Blaine's world, where he does shoot up this whole cafe full of zombies, or, the charcuterie, I should say, these are evil people. Have murdered tons of runaways, and if there's the chef there, like you were saying, she played all meek and innocent, but she was going to kill Major, and she was going to just mm-hmm. get his brain and serve him up too, so it was kind of, it's funny, her character was kind of the chef from Sweeney Todd. I forget what her name was, Mrs. Lovett, who served up the meat pies. She reminded me of her a lot, she's complicit, even if she's just hungry and she's got to figure out a way to survive, she's complicit in murdering a whole bunch of innocent people and taking their brains, children. So yeah, she deserved a nice shotgun blast. Or did he run her into the meat slicer? I forget, one of those two.
It was something like that. It was pretty gruesome as most of that was, but yeah, that, I thought that was hilarious. Steph, what were your thoughts about Major shooting up meat cute?
Just that Major's character had been through so much that season. His life turned upside down. He thought he was going crazy. He lost his job. All these children, these kids that he had been taking care of, were missing. And it was just such a great season finale, and a way for Blaine is such a villain by the end of season one. And for also just the events of Blaine being cured was just, haven't even gotten and talked about the cures that they had and Blaine tried to, oh my God, there's just so much.
Yeah, when
Stab Major and Liv.
When Blaine tells Liv and Major, like, yeah, you might have taken me down, but, I'm going to make more. And he's got his eyes all red. And then Liv, like, gets him with the cure, which is just, like, perfect. Perfect. You didn't kill him, but you killed what he was – you killed all his plans,
Yeah.
You killed his
ambitions.
It's
just so sad that mm-hmm. – yeah, and just so sad that Liv and Ravi had worked so hard season one to come up with those cures and – because she was going to be cured, and she just there was just so much going on.
I mean, in a way, Liv got lucky, because remember, that's the cure that then turned them back into zombies, but then ended up killing them, or would have killed them, essentially.
So that's true.
Yeah, she essentially dodged the bullet, and then poor Blaine and Major had to deal with the ramifications of it. So yeah. There's just so much that episode set up for the rest of the series. But, let's talk right along. Robin, I'm going to shoot back over to you for your number 7 scene.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've spent some time in season 1, so I'll skip right over to season 2. There's so much. Like I said, we got 29 written down here between us. I think one of the best moments of season 2, I mean, there's a finale, but midway through the season, not midway, most of the way, episode 13, The Whopper, which really was kind of set up as a season finale just in case they didn't get any more episodes, because, strangely, they got, 6 more episodes that season, but I don't know if they were expecting it. And, it's a big Rob Thomas episode. As a matter of fact, we had Rob Thomas on the podcast after that one aired, and that was just kind of huge for me as well. So the end of the Whopper is the One Day More montage. I love Les Miserables. As soon as Blaine put on the record and he's talking to Angus, and just that whole monologue with him, and then it goes out to – they just keep the music rolling, and they go out to that, empty lot where they've been digging and digging and digging, trying to find this artificial leg full of this tainted utopium, which could be used to make a cure, as far as they knew. It was a triumph – like, the music just, hits this triumphant note as – they finally found it. Liv, and Major finally find this artificial leg, and it goes to freeze frame where, I believe, I think it's Ravi that's holding the leg up like a lightsaber, and Liv and Major are at his feet, and it freezes into that the animated. Not the animated, but the rotoscoped moment. I forget
comic.
What was it called? It's
like
a comic
panel.
Yeah, yeah. And it says Finn on there, as if it is actually if that was the finale, that would have been a pretty, not entirely satisfying, but it was a pretty great moment in iZombie. And just, oh gosh, I was so happy at the end of that episode.
It is an amazing episode, and as you said, I love Les Miserables for the fact that they started playing some of the music there, which I think, isn't it the fun fact that that's from, the movie and not the original play, because they couldn't get the rights or something like that?
Yeah, we asked Rob about that. He said he wanted the Broadway version, but they accidentally used the film version.
Yeah, he didn't even know about it. If you look at the record that Blaine puts on, it is the Broadway cast album. And then he found out after the episode was all put together that, no, they actually got the film version. Which is still, it's still good. I mean, it's still a good version of that song anyway. So
a happy mistake, essentially. But, yeah, I love that scene because we know how much Angus has abused Blaine. And, you know, as much as Blaine can ping pong back and forth from being a villain to being questionable, we all were extremely satisfied when he got his moments with Angus, which was just hilarious. He has, like, the old man, like, makeup on, and he's like, oh, it's been so long. Yes, that's absolutely great. I love the music. I love them digging in, looking for that fake leg, essentially. And, yeah, I did notice that it was a little, like, strange that they had the comic book-esque finale with it saying Finn, which is the end. So
yeah.
I didn't know that that was originally supposed to be their last episode. I thought that they had gotten the order for more episodes prior to that. So that's actually very interesting.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, by the time it was already filmed, like, that's when they got picked up. But, you know, I think it's great, and I think they had, like, a break after that, so It was a good kind of, like, mid-season finale, if anything.
I'm always going to be a little salty that season two was the only season that got that many episodes. I'm like, oh, come on, we're back to the 13-episode format. I need more. Oh. I need more.
Oh, trust me. I've been feeling pretty salty about the CW lately, but... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. You know, I'm glad at least they aired the show. You know, promote it. I don't know about that, but.
Yeah, Steph and I were just talking about that before you hopped on. That they have been absolutely horrific with promoting this show, and to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm taking it a little too personally. I'm just saying to myself, that's disrespectful. This is a great show, and people are sad that it's on its last leg, and you can't even promote it because to them, they're like, ah, who cares if we get the viewers? It's ending anyway. But being like, come on, man, they deserve to go off with a bang. I bet Supernatural is going to get, like, a year worth of promotion before it airs its final season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the fact that they took so long to release a trailer, and then they just released it on YouTube, and then, like, a week later, the social media accounts decided to start posting it. And, like, who is running this show, you know? Because please, just put me in charge. I'd be happy to just constantly promote on their account. CW's coming back. Come on. I mean, I'm doing it on our Twitter account all the time, but, you know, we only have so many people that are following us. They have, like, hundreds of thousands of people.
It's like they got rid of their marketing person for iZombie.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you go. It's fine. We'll just do whatever the hell we want to do here. Yeah, no, I remember when I saw that they're having, like, a sale for all of iZombie stuff in Toronto. And I'm like, oh,
Vancouver.
Vancouver. It's like, what? They couldn't, like, wait for it to end? Like, they were kicking the cast out. They're like, all right, we got to sell everything because we got to make some money back here. I was like, oh, it's like digging a grave for us poor iZombie fans. But Steph, do you want to comment on the Les Miserables scene in, what was it called?
The Whopper,
yes.
Oh, I don't have any more to say than what y'all already have covered. It's just a great song. It just builds, and it was just perfect for the ending there.
Fair enough, absolutely. So, Steph, you have the number 6 slot.
Okay, we're going back to season 1. We're going to talk about Lowell.
Oh, Lowell.
Everybody loves Lowell. Okay, in the 7th episode of the first season, when Lowell is on Gay Brain And him and Liv have a date. He comes over to our apartment, and they're just getting to know each other. And I love this whole scene. It's like a montage. They're dancing, and she dips him. And it's just a wonderful sequence of them getting to know each other without the pressure of being being attracted to each other. So I just think that is just one of my favorite parts of iZombie.
I'm going to say right now that I don't think that anyone was a better fit for Liv than Lowell. I'm just going to put that out there.
Liv made your end game.
It's like at this point, I just feel like they've become such different people and they've tried to make it work and it just doesn't. I want to bring Lowell back. I'm just saying. But yeah, Lowell on Gay Brain was absolutely hilarious because, you know, she thought that they had this like great connection and he comes over and it's virtually nothing. And she's like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, I'm gay. And she's like, oh. And he's like, well, at least for this brain that I ate. And they're talking about Idris Elba and the, as you said, the fantastic like dance montage. And yeah, it was just a great moment for them to get to know each other without the pressure of having to be intimate, and her dipping him was just hilarious. I love that. So yeah, fantastic choice. Robin, do you want to comment a little on Lowell on Gay Brain?
Oh gosh, yeah, I love, I'm not sure what that song is, but I remember playing it a lot when that aired. I've been, you know, collecting iZombie music this, all 5 years, you know. So that was a big song for me. And, just that moment, like Steph said, you know, it took the pressure off. They could get to know each other. It wasn't just immediately hot and heavy. And I don't know, he's a good guy. And I don't know, it was great to have Liv find somebody. I mean, the first person that she finds as a zombie that, you know, she thought she could bond with was Blaine, but he quickly turned on her. But Lowell was just, I don't know. He was another zombie, and he could, that great moment on the phone where she's trying to make up an excuse why she can't come out. And then she realized, oh wait, no, you're a zombie too. I can just tell you I'm on claustrophobia or not claustrophobia. Right. What is that?
Agoraphobia.
Agoraphobic brain. Yeah. Agoraphobe. I'm not sure. Acrophobic. I don't know. The one that makes you that you can't actually come out of the house. That brain. So he just comes on over, and yeah, and then they have that amazing dance scene.
Yeah. That actually, I forgot about that when she told him, you know, I could just tell you I'm on this brain that I can't leave my house and I'm terrified, and you understand that. So that was absolutely fantastic. And as I say, they killed off Lowell way too soon, which, by the way, not to like, you know, skip all around and everything, but his death was just so heartbreaking because the whole time I was watching, I was like, no, not Lowell. You can't do this. And then again, I'm a big Blaine fan, but it made me question for just a moment. I was like, man, why did you do that?
So it wasn't all the teenage runaways. You were like, oh, you know, whatever. They're off screen. He shot Lowell in the face on camera. I'm done with him. or I'm questioning him. You're saying he shot him in the face, and then you're like, I don't know about Blaine.
This is what she's saying. She's saying that in the show, you're wondering, you know, Liv is supposed to shoot Blaine, and instead Blaine shoots Lowell. And at that moment, you're like, maybe I would rather Liv shoot Blaine, and we could keep Lowell. Correct.
A bit of both, because it's just David Anders. He plays Blaine so well. And look, if we didn't have, you know, him in the series, like, he definitely is a big part. Obviously, all the cast is amazing, but it's obvious that they just keep writing storylines for him just to keep him in because they like David Anders so much.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just
so good playing the bad guy.
He's so good. But Lowell, like, I just think that he was better for Liv. I forget, because I probably should have done a rewatch as well, but who was the romantic interest in season 2?
Oh, Drake?
Drake, yes. She had a lot more chemistry with Lowell than she did Drake.
Yeah, and that was one where she did get in hot and heavy, like, right off the bat, because she was on 50 Shades Brand. It didn't start with a friendship, you know?
Yeah.
She's immediately in bed with him.
And there was another zombie, too, down the line, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Low on gay brain is just fantastic. So I'm going to hop over to the number 5 slot. And now that we're kind of at the halfway in this list, I'm going to pick some more intense scenes because I really want to talk about this because this is such a pivotal moment, guys. I'm going to
mm-hmm.
talk about Clive finding out that Liv is a zombie.
Oh, God.
Just because I didn't know that – I didn't feel like we were ever going to have that moment. I thought that Clive may have been in the dark for the whole entire series. But then obviously we have Major in prison. Liv needs to find a way to get him out. And she goes there with desperation on her face, obviously. And, you know, it's everything is ripped apart, you know. And that scene when she tells him Major is a zombie and he's kind of laughing at it. He's like, I know that. You're stressed and everything, but come on, this sounds ridiculous, blah, blah. And then when finally she admits it, I was watching it, and I, like, got off my couch because I was like, oh, my God. I was like, she finally said it. But again, of course, who's going to believe that right away? And then she literally, like, stabs herself in the chest just
mm-hmm.
to prove to him that, hey, I really am what I'm telling you I am, because obviously I guess that would be the only way to prove it to him, and then her eyes go red. And I'm like, holy shit. I was like, now Clive knows. That was just so intense to me. I believe that was either the season 2's finale or the episode before the finale. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I forget which.
Yeah, this is the episode Deadbeat. It is the penultimate episode of season 2.
Okay, yeah. It was such a good episode. It was such a intense moment between them, because I didn't think that they were going to end the episode like that with her going to Clive's apartment, which then, you know, put him at odds with Dale, and that was super sad because they were so good together, but he had to help out Major just for the simple fact that he knew the dangers of having a zombie in prison were. So yes, that's definitely going to be my number 5 slot, is Clive finding out that Liv is a zombie and the existence of zombies altogether. So, Steph, what are your thoughts? You know, what were your thoughts in that moment?
I can't remember. Let's see. I don't remember that season much.
It was huge. And just him, you know, she, you know, stabs herself in the chest, and just that look of Clive, like, Liv, what are you doing? You know, like
oh,
she's about
yeah,
to, like,
yeah, yeah.
commit suicide in front of him, you know? I also like the fact – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, he must have been thinking, like, damn, don't kill yourself over Major. Like, he's the chaos killer. He's the worst.
Yeah. And, you know,
it would have just been terrible. It would have just been terrible if she had to get Major out of jail. Like, it would have been terrible to keep him in jail. And Clive was her only hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's great about that is that there's this thing where, you know, when Major gets put away, and then earlier in the season when Liv gets locked up, like, we can't have a zombie going Romero in prison. Like, if you run out of brains,
yeah.
you start losing your mind, and then you'll go after any brains. And so there was that danger building up. And so at the end of Deadbeat, Clive gets Major out of this prison. And, you know, when it, then they show the preview of the next episode, Salvation Army, and you see these zombies running rampant in what looks like some sort of lockup, where it turns out that the party is like kind of a lockup party, you know, kind of like prison themed, and you know, for Max Rager. So I love the idea that they had this premise of, you know, we had been kind of hypothesizing all season, like theorizing, going, okay, so what is, you know, what if there is a major zombie outbreak? What if somebody, you know, gets scratched in prison and then one leads to the other and there's this whole prison full of zombies that are going to escape, and that they've been toying with this all this time, and then all of a sudden that literally happened, but it was at a locked up party in the next episode.
Yeah. It looked good for the promo.
Yeah.
Which was honestly ridiculous on, like, Vaughn's part, that he was like, we're going to have a lockup party. I was like, oh, how pretentious is this guy? And can we talk really quick that poor Rob Thomas got his brains eaten out in the season finale, which is so meta and is so hilarious on iZombie's part, but they got to do that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, in our Veronica Mars rewatch, we found another somebody saying something about Rob Thomas, you know, but talking about the singer. Yeah, I love that. It's a funny in-joke. You cannot believe the crap that guy gets away with.
Yeah, you know, before I started watching iZombie, I had no idea that there was, like, another Rob Thomas out there.
Oh.
So when I first heard that, you know, like, done by Rob Thomas, I was like, wow, that's really cool. That singer is very talented. And then I looked and it's like, oh, wait, no, there's another Rob Thomas. So I am sure that they get that all the time, and that's why he has a lot of fun in his shows kind of poking at it. So, yeah, That was just great. That whole, like, season finale of season two was just really good, I think. I don't know how you guys feel, but I thought season two was, like, one of the best seasons. I just think that it had so much in it. I'm not sure if it's because it had the extra episodes, if maybe I feel this way, but it's just, it was really perfect. It was really just a great season. Not that the other seasons weren't fantastic, but I just think that season two had so much to it.
It hit its stride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was a different show. You know, they had a nice, you know, they had a great villain who was like a corporate a-hole, and then this duplicitous daughter that was, you know, working undercover, and then the whole chaos killer stuff and how conflicted we were throughout the season about what Major was doing. And then the revelation that Major actually wasn't killing zombies. He was saving them. He was freezing them. It was a lot of great stuff in that season for sure. It is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, and the Major thing, him getting arrested. Was it the second season or the third season that he, oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the second season when he suddenly transforms into a zombie. And we had never seen Major really do that, and he was so adamant about never wanting to become a zombie. He was so, you know, hateful towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he raged out for a moment, and I was like, oh, God, is Robbie going to die now? Is this
going to
happen?
Robbie was quick with a needle.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Robbie was definitely has always been the unsung hero of iZombie, definitely. Robin, I'm going to shoot over to you for the number four slot.
Oh, wow. So we haven't done so much season three and season four, so I'm going to have to hit a pretty emotional one for me. And I had the writer, Sarah Seide, on the podcast to talk to her about it and kind of cry over the phone to her about what happened. But it is from a pretty wild episode, Spanking the Zombie. And, you know, I actually had two moments from there, but, you know, one's lesser because it's basically when Liv makes Jimmy her sketch bitch. That was pretty hilarious. But but the end of the episode is what I would say my pick is when Major is, you know, pretty much on the edge of death, and he spends just one last night with Liv, and, you know, they're really honest with each other. You know, she tells Major, because basically they're coming to the point where, you know, he takes this this cure, this vaccine or whatever. I can never get all the terminology correct, but they realize that if he takes this, his brain is going to get wiped out, much like Blaine's. And the Major that we know and love is going to be gone. All his memories of Liv, all his memories of his life are going to be gone. And so it's just this heartbreaking scene where they're talking about this, and they spend one last night together, and they wake up in the morning and Robbie comes in, and it's just this beautiful moment. I mean, Pearl Jam's one of my favorite bands, so Pearl Jam's playing over it, and you know, Robbie kind of jokes a little bit, but then, you know, they give him the shot and they just kind of wait for him to start losing his mind. And that's how the episode ends. And it's so many tears for that one scene. And it was only like the fifth episode of the third season. It was like they had barely gotten into the season and they already made this like heartbreaking thing happen.
Oh yeah. That was just so sad to see Major deteriorating and coming to the realization, what would you rather, die or forget everything? Forget Liv. Mm-hmm. And at this point, Liv and Major have been through so much, but she, you know, spends that one last night with him. And yeah, that was totally, I love that you got the writer, by the way, for your podcast to cry.
And isn't the death of identity kind of a death in itself, you know? Like, he's going to either die or die, you know? Like, everything that he is gets wiped away, and now he is Gurn Blanston? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was so sad. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Steph, what were your thoughts during this whole, you know, very sad scene between them?
Yeah, well, and it's just like going back to the morality of zombies versus humans. Like, if you do forget everything, and you just become a different person, and being a zombie, are you a different being and not human, but you still have the capability of being turned back. So yeah, it was just a lot going on.
Yeah. And this scene, because we obviously saw what was happening with Blaine, and so we had to think to ourselves, well, does that mean now we're going to have another character who's, you know, has amnesia essentially walking around? But I love that it was Major's journey that pretty much showed us that whole thing was kind of bullshit. That it was, you know, Major who kind of revealed, like, yeah, you lose your memories, but for like, what, a day, 2 days?
And yeah, 48 hours.
48 hours. And I love the fact, first of all, that they made Major have two moms. And they did it in such a subtle way, too. I just love that, those little things that they kind of put in there. But, yeah, and then we just totally saw, you know, Blaine is totally lying right now because Major just proved that. That was just
because the whole time you're thinking, Blaine could be lying. This could just be his devious way of escaping, you know, the bad things that he's done. That's what could be going on. And then it's revealed that, yeah, Blaine's just a bullshit artist.
That's another moment I wrote down, was the fact that, you know, when Blaine is like pouring wine for Peyton and they have, I don't know, takeout. She says something about how Major took the cure, and so he knows, like, the jig is up. So he confesses to Peyton about what's actually been happening, and at the same time, Major's, you know, who's gone missing, that Liv lost track of because she was on hot mess brand. He calls and says that he's all right and that it works, you know. And so Liv realizes that, oh my God, I'm going to be cured.
Oh, there's so many times that the cure was just ripped from Liv's fingers. It was it was so sad. But, you know, Robin, that scene that you're talking about with Blaine and Peyton, you know, I felt really bad because he was asking her all these, like, hypothetical questions. And she was like, yeah, you know, I feel that people can change and yada, yada. And he's like, oh, great. That means, like, we're going to be cool. And then he tells her, and she's like, you bitch. Not only did my friend have to suffer, but my other friend had to suffer, and you've been lying to me this whole time. So F you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk away.
Right, exactly. I was so proud of Peyton in that moment because I had been, you know, nervous about her and her relationship with Blaine, that she had kind of lost all sense of, like, that she would forgive him about that. Like, oh, it's don't worry about it. You're a different person, even though you're not a different person. I'm so glad that she was just like, no, you nearly killed my friends. You know, Major almost died making this choice, and thank goodness he took that shot, or else he would have just died. And it would have been because Blaine didn't tell the absolute truth that in 48 hours his memory returned and everything was okay.
Well,
she chose her friends over Blaine.
She was very, before that, like, stand by my man, like, you know, way, because Ravi tried to tell her, a lot of them tried to tell her, like, hey, this is probably not the good decision that you should be making, but, you know, she was like, no, he's changed, yada, yada. I love that Donnie was the one who really kind of called it with Blaine. Like, oh, you know, what did he say to Ravi? He was like, from the beginning. But he was like, he was talking to a guy named John. And Robbie's like, do you know how many Johns there are? He's like, John, we only know one John. So, yeah, Donnie definitely. And that's the thing. And not to go, like, too off track, but I loved Donnie's character's progression throughout the series. Because at first I was like, oh, this guy is a little, you know, sneaky the way he's using Blaine's amnesia to his advantage. But then you just really saw that he was just kind of doing exactly what Blaine does and being smart and kind of trying to take advantage in order to, you know, get his own way. So you kind of couldn't have gotten mad at him. And he, what's the actor's name?
Which is why.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Bryce Hodgson. No, I was just going to add on, like, which is why it was hard to, you know, tell if Blaine was lying that time, because he dealt with Angus, and Angus kind of humiliating him and taking away all his money. And then Donnie and Chief are just basically using him as, like, a stool pigeon. But I think Blaine was happy in this diminished role and having a new chance at life at being a lounge singer and being with Peyton. And all, you know, it's like a Black Widow in the Avengers, how she'd always wanted to get the red erased from her notebook and kind of start again, her red erased from her ledger, she says. And that's what Blaine had. But they threw enough at him to have him, like I said, the Angus thing, the Donnie, like, talking to him like he's an idiot kind of thing, that you're waiting for Blaine to crack, but he never does. So I still was like, maybe he did lose his memory. I wasn't sure, but yep.
Yeah, because he was very good at concealing any sort of truth when it came to his memory, because Donnie was fully just embarrassing him in front of everyone. They were taking advantage, but I guess that just goes to show you that Blaine is willing to wait the long haul, because look at this, you know, Chief was killed and Donnie was essentially, you know, run out of business. You know, they couldn't do the Utopium business anymore. And Blaine just kind of didn't want any of that, you know, anymore. I mean, the guy got killed over it with Mr. Boss, which was such a good scene. But anyway, another scene where there's fantastic music. What was it? Whiter Shade of Pale. It's so good.
Oh,
that scene. Definitely, definitely that scene was fabulous. But Steph, what is your number three moment for iZombie?
Oh, gosh.
And feel free
gosh.
To add in five other moments, as we just said. So.
Do what?
I said, feel free to add in five other moments like we just did.
I do that for every podcast. We end up like with one thing, and it's like, yeah, but let's talk about this as well. So, you know, it's just how it goes.
Okay, I want to talk about Clive. I want to talk about season 3, episode 9, 20-sided die. I love the culmination of Clive realizing that he is a nerd. You know, because we've got him watching Game of Thrones and he getting all into Game of Thrones and, like, being surprised that he liked Game of Thrones. And now he is like, oh, I like this, you know, you got to have strategy and you got to, you know, in this game of Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the lich?
Sorry, go ahead, Steph.
I was just, you know, it's just fun. That was so much fun.
I love that scene because, as you said, Clive is such a big nerd because he was so, he just didn't want to play Dungeons and Dragons. He thought it was so stupid at first, and then all of a sudden he's like, we need to be doing that every single week. Liz, you need to keep some of that brain so that we can, like, get in on it. He was just really into it, and as you said, I love, like, by the way, tonight, guys, I don't know if you two watch Game of Thrones, but tonight is supposed to be the big battle in Game of Thrones, so Clive would be losing his shit right now.
Trust me, I already got the idea of making a themed tweet for that for tonight, because, yeah, I'm probably just as psyched as Clive would be.
And I love the scene when Robbie's like, Clive, what's George R.R. Martin doing right now? Not writing!
Not writing.
Robin, do you want to comment on Clive and just being continuously surprised at how big of a nerd he actually is?
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of starts off like saying, like, I'm Earl, you know, I'm just a dwarf or something like that. And yeah, as the game cuts in further, he is so obsessed with finding the lich. Just so much fun. But, you know, he talks about earlier in the comic book store that he used to be into the Flash. He used to read Flash comic books. And, you know, we find out, I love that we also get the scene. Well, there's a few. Like, there's the one where Basio gives Robbie the scrapbook, and it shows Clive dressed up like Khal Drogo. And he, like, there's this whole hidden side. And then we see him discovering Game of Thrones with, I want to call him Alfie, but it's not Alfie. What is his name?
Oh, the little boy, right?
The little boy, yeah, yeah. And just, we get that scene of him, like, just kind of casual
Wally.
Watching. All of a sudden, what's that?
Is it Wally?
Wally, that's right, yeah. Yeah, he's casually watching, and then he's sitting forward, like, intensely watching while the kid sleeps, you know?
With that terrible mustache that he has.
Yeah. And then in the fourth season, I believe we get another scene where, you know, it's on the whole city's on a lockdown, and where's Clive? But holed up in you know, a D&D game with Ravi Vampire Steve Jimmy the Sketch Artist.
Oh, the fact that he continued doing his D&D nights was hilarious. Like, and the fact that they... Oh, I loved Clive, like, just being an absolute nerd, and him dressed up as Khal Drogo was the funniest thing that I've ever seen. Like, wow, this guy is legitimately into it, man.
Yep.
Yeah, Clive is just such a fantastic character, and again, kind of going off on our tangents where we are exploring other scenes as well, you know, he's just... Everything that we found out about Clive throughout the series, how he was such a great defender of, like, children and everything, especially with that one father who was incredibly abusive to his dad, and he goes and pretty much, like, you know, breaks police protocol just to kick this guy's ass. And, yeah, I just think that he's a great character. I can't wait to see even more scenes with him. I'm glad that he and Liv have always continued their, you know, friendship, however it's developed, you know? It's been so good.
For sure. Cagney and Pasty.
What'd you say?
Cagney and Pasty.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So finding out Clive is a huge nerd is definitely an A+ for iZombie. I guess I'm going to hop into the number 2 spot, and it's kind of a big one. I also, again, want to comment on a few other things in my pick. I can't even talk today. Sorry, guys. I haven't had my second cup of coffee for the morning. But I wanted to do Chase Graves, who I love that character. Again, this may surprise both of you, but I've never watched Veronica Mars.
Get on. Wow. You'll be on Hulu soon.
You will look at Chase Graves completely different.
Maybe more intensely. As soon as they put it on Hulu, I'll get to watching it because I definitely need like more Rob Thomas content in my life. But I really like the character Chase Graves. I know that it's questionable. Apparently, I just like the questionable characters because obviously liking Blaine as well. But, I love the whole character of Chase. I definitely think that there was some sort of inner turmoil with him when he had to order Renegade's death. Because we have that whole episode where it's almost done in like flashbacks of Chase remembering him speaking to Renegade and her crimes and what has to be done. And if we remember, Chase tried to put it off as much as possible, even though the punishment for scratching a human and turning them into a zombie was death. But he didn't want to do that at first because, you know, she's like, what, a middle-aged woman who just essentially thought that what she was doing was right. But eventually it had to come to the point where Chase wanted to maintain Seattle's neutrality and keep them away from being bombed, then he had to make a statement. And I think it was a very hard statement for him to make. And that scene was absolutely heartbreaking the way that they filmed it. First of all, I'm very happy that we didn't see anything, that they didn't actually show the head crushing. You just essentially saw everyone else's reaction to that scene. But yeah, I think that that was a very powerful scene. I think that, again, Chase didn't want that to happen. It was just ultimately the hard decision that he had to make in order to save Seattle, because at the time, if you remember, the U.S. government was ready to push the button. They're ready to nuke it and completely demolish Seattle in order to prevent the zombie virus from going any further. So, yeah, I definitely wanted to pick number 2 as Chase executing Renegade. Robin, what do you think about this scene and, you know, just that kind of whole thing?
I mean, it was a hard choice. I don't agree that he should have done it because, you know, I always believe more, like, don't murder people no matter what. But I don't know. I'm not sure what his choice was. Cause yeah, he's trying to curtail, like the coyote stuff because, New Seattle is starving. So, maybe he should have done more on, I wish I had ideas for him, but, him killing Renegade was, like, just a really harsh thing to do. And because, you know, she was a nice person. She was just trying to help people. And just like, you know, a lovely memory of Liv helping her that Liv didn't even remember, you know, that came up as well. It was a heartbreaking scene. And I think one of the biggest things for me, I kind of focused on Liv's reaction to it. And the moment where she's yelling for Major, and Major is just kind of standing there, you know, solid like a, you know, a soldier, and either not hearing her or trying not to pay any attention and focus on his work. you know, and whatever is going on inside his head, whether he really is turned to the dark side or he's not sure what else to do, so he's kind of just falling in line. It was a big moment for sure.
Well, you know, what could have Major actually done? You know, he had Chase with all the other soldiers. I think that his only choice really was to just kind of stand there and unfortunately witness it. But yes, Liv's reaction was definitely a standout moment for that, her yelling his name and desperately wanting it to not happen. And I think us as the viewers, with most TV shows and movies, there's always that convenient little moment that happens that prevents something else from happening. So I think that we all were thinking to ourselves, oh, they're not really going to kill her. Something's going to stop it. And that didn't happen. And it was really sad. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, they had that head crusher. They've been talking about that for several episodes. You knew it was coming. They were going to use it on somebody, and just the dread building, and they finally used it on somebody that it broke our heart for them to use it on, but you knew it was inevitable. The inevitability of that machine going to be used was just, it just went on for episode after episode.
Yeah,
and I was thinking about, when you say, what would have Major done? Well, what did he do in the finale, you know? Liv was on that melon smasher, and it was his interruption that, you know, got the ball rolling about, stopping that and then ending up with Chase on the melon smasher, so.
Well, Major wasn't going, as lovely as Renegade was, and we all felt bad for her because she says, helping families makes her feel human. You know, to Major, that's just a person. But he wasn't, no matter how complicated he and Liv's relationship gets, he wasn't going to let Liv be killed. So I think we kind of saw that coming. But do you guys definitely think that this moment was a turning point for Chase, say Liv and such viewing him? Because prior to this, we had a little bit of a complicated kind of relationship with him. In a sense, he was just maybe the stoic guy who was leading these people since his sister-in-law died. But, and then Liv sleeps with him. So that was kind of like the source for funny moments with her, like, oh, this guy still thinks I want him, but, whatever, it was just a booty call. But now it's like, no, you set in stone that there's really serious consequences for us zombies, and we all have to be afraid.
Yeah, that was the moment when Chase stepped over the line. I mean, he did a lot of questionable things, but we were sort of, rooting for him. But, yeah, he made that choice, and, I mean, I couldn't sympathize with it. I mean, I guess I could, but I also was like, there are better options than murdering someone. and it's the same. It's the same with Major. Major just standing there, letting this innocent person get killed for what? Helping people. Major has a big heart. He was a social worker. He helped teenage runaways. And all of a sudden, a couple years later, he is standing there witnessing a murder and just, paying attention on just holding the crowd back, and that's it, So it was a huge turning point for Chase, and I am glad that Major ended up coming back to the good side towards the end of the season. Even though, yeah, like you said earlier, Liv and Major's relationship as a result to all this is complicated now.
Well, Major definitely had an interesting journey because he was human. There was nothing tying him to the organization, and he was the one who went to Chase and said, scratch me, I want back in. Because this guy who started off this series just being absolutely disgusted with zombies finds that the only way that he feels normal is now being a zombie. So that was very interesting that they went that way with his storyline, And
well,
I
after Natalie is murdered, he found himself disgusted with humanity. So he went back to the place where he felt, accepted.
Oh, that scene with Natalie when, like, I was like, oh my God, what is happening right now?
That was a hard credit right there. That was like, and it's over.
Well, like, I know that he like felt bad for her and they had a little bit of a touching moment, but he barely knew her. But Major kind of just jumped into a relationship with her really quick. I thought that was a little odd, but I was like, okay, whatever. Like, let him go off to, where was it, Italy with her, and Liz can be with Justin and yada yada.
Well, it's
and
interesting. It was all he really wanted with Liz. He wanted to bond with her in that way, and he found himself. I felt he ended up opening up himself much like he wanted to do with Liv, but never really got to. So that it was interesting that I felt like Natalie was kind of a Liv surrogate for him.
Absolutely, that he could be the way he wanted to be with Liv, but instead had Natalie, and Natalie was called him out on his shit a few times and was able to kind of like put him in his place a little, so that was good. They did her so dirty, just filling her off the way.
Also, one more thing about Natalie compared to Liv is that, Major wants to rescue Liv. He wants to help her. And what did Natalie do? But let him rescue her. He went up into the high tower apartment building to give the cure to the princess, then she came back. She was to kind of thank him. And that's, I think Liv is somebody that, does push Major away because she's got this job to do and won't let him help her. So maybe that's what they need to, that barrier they need to get over. I don't know.
Do you actually think that Major and Liv are endgame for iZombie?
Absolutely.
OTP. Jackie,
what do you think? What do you think? OTP?
Oh, yeah. OTP.
Oh, I don't
also,
know.
These Lowells and Drakes and Justin. Who was Justin? That's just
Tim.
Tim? Well, I don't even remember a Tim.
Brainless in Seattle.
Oh, that's right. Her little, lover for, a hot second that she thought was, the love of her life until she, got to
Oh, let's not forget
her.
Levon.
Oh, Levon. I like Levon.
Levon's great.
I thought personally she didn't have a whole lot of chemistry with Justin. I was iffy about her and Drake. I mean, it was fun. I just didn't see it having any, longevity. But, yeah, mm-hmm. Lowell was definitely, someone that I was rooting for at some point.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Who knows? Her and Blaine could get together. You never know.
Nope. I will delete all our podcast episodes if that happens. Close that.
That is your
burn it to
TV.
The ground.
I'm gonna burn it all down.
At some point, we all need to have a bet what we think is going to happen, and then we'll see who actually comes out right in this situation. But guys, we are actually down to the number one slot for our top 10 iZombie picks. I know that you guys had about 29, so we've done a pretty good job of kind of going through everything. But before we get to number one, as I always do, I'm just going to read off the list. For number 10, we had Liv finding her calling. For number 9, we had Liv's heartbreaking moment with Major before he took the vaccine. 8 was Major shooting up Meet Cute. Number 7 was the Les Miserables scene. Number 6 was Lowell on Daybrain. Number 5 was Clive finding out that Liv is a zombie. Number 4 was that other very tender moment between Liv and Major. Number 3 is Clive being just a big nerd. And number 2 is Chase killing renegade. So, Robin, I am going to give you the honor of taking the number one slot.
I feel like I need to just cap this whole thing by I'm gonna say number one. Well, not being the best moment in ranking, I feel in a way to cap this, I'll say that the number one moment I'm gonna give to Liv at the end of season four. Pretty broken by the events of all, you know, the Melon Smasher and New Seattle and the army blowing away. This whole, like, you know, New Seattle basically going to war almost. And then she walks, you know, she's like ready to retire Renegade. And she walks out of her hotel room when they, you know, they're like, oh, come on out here. I think it was Robbie and Peyton that say, well, you know, come out here. A couple of people want to, you know, say thank you or something like that. And she walks out and it is just this huge crowd of people that all like just start applauding. And she just, they have this great moment where she just, this smile on her face and she's spinning around and looking up at all the people standing there, just applauding for her. And it was just a beautiful way to end season four and kind of, you know, a way to take it from, you know, my first pick where she just feels like she's not going to be this monster. She's not going to be this person that just eats brains to sustain herself. She's going to eat brains to help people. And she's helped people. And now it's like, you know, so many people just appreciate her because she took on the mantle of Renegade and helped people behind the scenes. You know, people didn't know. It was a secret thing. But now she is Renegade and everybody knows it. And they all love her for it. They love her for helping them. I think it was a beautiful way to end the season and just, I don't know, beautiful way to just say thank you to this awesome character. And gosh, I can't imagine what they're going to do at the end of season five to cap that. But wow, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was definitely going to say that your pick certainly complements the first pick on this list beautifully because it's always been Liv trying to find meaning in her life, trying to somehow, you know, rejuvenate herself as a zombie, just trying to that joy again. And she's found it. She's found that she is appreciated. She is no longer the person who's looked at in a disgusting fashion because she's a zombie. She is someone who's looked at in admiration because she's helped so many people. Steph, how did you feel during the ending of season four?
Again, I think I've said it all.
Liv has gone through so much, and obviously now she has the admiration of so many people. I have to ask you guys, do you think that we're finally going to see, in season five, her mother and brother come back? And her get the admiration from them? No, right? I just don't see it happening.
We're so far removed from it. It'd be nice from a super fan perspective, a person that's been watching all along, but I don't know. Other than super fans, I don't think anybody. I mean, we had Molly Hagan on the show. She was she's a wonderful person, and I would personally love to see her back on the show as well as her brother Evan. But you know, I guess you got to think about the people that tune in, you know, every once in a while, and so I don't know if they're looking for that huge payoff. But then again, it's the final season. Rob Thomas might be like, I'm just going to give it all to the fans. And maybe a nice appearance in the finale where, I don't know, say like New Seattle ends up opening up and we see Eva and Evan coming across the border and ready to find Liv again. Like we find out that they escaped or something, you know, and they've heard about how wonderful Liv has been and, you know, what a hero she is to this whole zombie community. And it would be a wonderful moment. I don't want to. I definitely don't want to bet on it, though. I would love it personally, but.
Yeah, I bet they probably use them for what they needed, you know, early in season one. And I don't know. I don't see them coming back. But Rob Thomas likes to bring back characters from earlier seasons. He might do that, but I wouldn't bet on it.
I wouldn't bet on it. The only reason why I ask is because, you know, Rob Thomas knows that this is the last season. It wasn't one of those things where, you know, he already planned out season five, he already filmed season five, and
right.
then it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, well, CW's not going to renew. It's like they knew. So maybe, I like the idea of maybe that they had left Seattle and that's the reason why they haven't come back. And if they open up the borders, then you can see them. Just, you know, I'm not sure if Liv really cares anymore. I know that sounds because it's her mom and brother, but she has her family. She has people who love and accept her and have been with her for this journey. But the one thing is that it's not like her mother and brother disowned her because they knew that she was a zombie. They just thought that she was being heartless by not, you know, providing her blood for the brother when he was injured. So that's
right.
the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate for them, and they have such limited time, 13 episodes, probably so much to get through, and we have characters that are here now, you know, so I don't know if I'd want them to spend time reintroducing the characters and then having Liv and her mom and Evan work out their issues because it's so unimportant to us in these later seasons, but it would be nice
mm-hmm.
to for a super fan just to see like the borders open or something. And that's the reason why we haven't seen them because they've been outside of New Seattle and just see them just kind of crossing the border. And super fans will notice them, but I think it would be nice to at least just have a little cameo.
They mm-hmm. could literally just do where the borders open and you see people waiting and, you know, families are embracing and then you just see the mom and the brother coming and they all hug and that's it. I'm not asking for
mm-hmm.
a big, you know, moment where they talk about what happened and the reasoning and this and that. Just something like that maybe at the end of the season we can have. But, you know, speaking about season five, we're only a few days away from the premiere of the final season. I'll go to each of you individually and ask what you're kind of hoping for in season five. So Robin, let's start with you. What are you hoping?
Oh, okay. first off, I don't want anybody to die. I mean, maybe Blaine gets a righteous death or something. I think Blaine needs to answer for his crimes, ultimately. But as for anybody else,
sorry, can I
please
interrupt?
Yeah.
Because he shot Lowell in the face and then everything was fine. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's done so much terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And as much as we love this character, it's like, maybe I didn't want him punished or killed. You know, unless it was like the end of the first season, then, you know, maybe that would have been great. We had David Anders as a big season one, big bad, and it'll probably be like hard to even top him. But as a character that's been on the show the entire time, as it went on, I didn't want him to get killed. I wanted to see more storylines with him. But in the end, he's done so much awful stuff. And aside from wiping his brain for real and letting him live a good life, I think it would be great for Blaine to have maybe you know, do something like, I don't know, defend Peyton or something and end up getting killed in the process, or even just defending Liv. That would be even more amazing, you know. But Blaine's got to die. At the end of the season, he's got to die. Nobody else dies though. Nobody.
Oh, you're killing me, Robin. You're killing me here.
No, I'm killing Blaine.
No. Steph, what are you hoping for in season five?
I have no idea. I mean, I love how the world is so big now that, you know, with those character things like with Chase having to put lay down the law with keeping everything inside the walled city because, you know, the United States the government could bomb the city and just level it, and to be able to keep the zombie virus inside. Like, I can't imagine topping that. Like, we got to expand this world bigger. I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to expand the world. That's just what I'm interested in. How the stakes of the series will change, because we ended in kind of a good place with Chase, you know, Graves being gone and Major being in charge of Fillmore Graves. Like,
yeah,
how will they establish the stakes and the threat for the season? I'm just curious to see.
It will certainly be interesting, because wasn't one of the last things we saw was Blaine and Don E preparing to essentially snatch up real estate in an attempt to kind of make themselves richer because of the whole zombie thing. And I didn't really understand that much, but I think they're definitely going to play on it in the fifth season. And I know that I saw one of these rumors online that could Peyton essentially be the new mayor, because the mayor was killed in season four. So I think maybe that is certainly a possibility. I'm kind of going in with really no expectations, except for the fact that I want everyone to live, Blaine included. And I would like Liv, though, to be cured. I would like to see that, because out of everyone, I mean, we've seen Blaine be a human again, Major be a human again, Robbie goes in and out with his whole thing. We've never seen Liv become a human again, and I think that I would like to see her reaction to it, and then essentially figure out maybe her life again, because, you know, she had to go through a moment of figuring herself out as a zombie, and now that's how she knows, and afterwards she would have to figure out what's next for her. What does she do now? Will she find that maybe now she doesn't have meaning as a human, and that she found her meaning as being a zombie? So that would be super interesting to me. I believe we only have 13 episodes again. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So we got a lot of ground to cover in 13 episodes. I Zombie returns for its fifth and final season on May 2nd, unfortunately, and hopefully CW, which I doubt it, will come out with something else to promote it. But that's why we have you guys who are doing the good work here promoting this awesome series that I never thought that I was going to ever be into at all, and it has become one of my favorites, which is coincidentally why it's ending, because every show that I like apparently ends early. But,
I mean, it's been a rewarding few years. We've been doing it since before they were on the air, and we got sold by just hearing the words Rob Thomas and David Anders is going to be on it. That's, you know, because I knew David Anders from Alias, and Rob Thomas from Veronica Mars. So I felt guilty that I didn't catch Veronica Mars until after it was canceled. So I felt like I needed to get right in on this iZombie train, because I knew it was going to be good if it was coming from him. And it has been good. It's been so great. And, wow, I can't imagine what's going to happen in the final season. But I can only expect an amazing wrap-up. Like you said, he knows that it's the final season. He's not going to leave some sort of, like, cliffhanger or, you know, Veronica Mars ended on a down note because, he was a little the series got canceled earlier than, you know, he expected. And but now I think he's ready to wrap it up. And I'm hoping we're going to have a really fitting ending to this amazing series.
Ted, not that any of us can see in the future, but Veronica Mars has had several little revivals throughout the years. We're seeing one that's going to happen. Do you see the same for iZombie, or do you think that because Rob Thomas knows that this is the end, that, you know, this is it, we'll probably never see iZombie again?
I have a feeling this is it. I think that it's run its course. I think Rob, I can't speak for him. I'm not sure if he had more stories to tell, but you know, you can only accelerate, or, you know, enhance the story, blew it up bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, until, you know, I'm not sure where you'd go with it, but, I don't know. And it's also, you know, gosh, I hope when this series goes off the air that more people will start discovering it on Netflix and, you know, it gets the cult following that Veronica Mars has and always will. But, you know, I have to say it has disappointed me that it hasn't caught on the way Veronica Mars did, because I think it's just as worthy a series.
Yeah, because Veronica Mars is always on one of those lists of, you know, the best dramas of all time, post-Sopranos or whatever.
Yep.
And, I mean, and I think that's why people love iZombies, because they love Rob Thomas's writing. But yeah, I think that this little genre show, you know, genre shows never get the respect that they deserve.
That's true.
Well, I just think that it could be the title of it being called iZombie, and also the fact that it's about talking zombies that may put people off. I mean, we live in a world where people love The Walking Dead and they just want to see their zombies, you know, walking around like zombies pretty much, and to have a show. Although people really like Santa Clarita Diet, which actually
just
found out just got canceled. It had 3 seasons and then just got canceled. I don't mean to be a little salty here, but I was like, well, at least iZombie got 5 seasons, you know. I just thought that was such a blatant ripoff of iZombie, but because it had Drew Barrymore and what's his name, Timothy Olyphant or whatever, you know, people ate that shit up, and they're talking about, oh my God, this is amazing, she's a zombie and she eats people, but she also has a family and gets to walk around and walk and talk, and I'm like, you know, that's like iZombie, right?
Oh my God, our first female zombie superhero. Like, excuse me?
I was like, Liv who? I mean, you know, you guys. And I think even Raul Coley did a funny post on Instagram where he was like, look, I'm watching the next season of iZombie, and then it was like Santa Clarita Diet. And I was like, this man has done more to promote iZombie than the CW has ever done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That is so very true.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love when that video, when the when it plays and you just hear him go, oh.
It was amazing. Yeah, I should never be happy for the demise of a show, but I can't say that I wasn't a little childish and was like, good.
Yeah. there's plenty of things to be like snarky and cynical about the way that the CW has failed to promote iZombie, and the way that, you know, it hasn't caught on the way, you know, and then this Santa Clarita Diet. And we even gave like season one a shot and it was entertaining, you know. I just love
it. It was fun.
It isn't like a cutthroat kind of thing. I definitely, you know, I whatever, we have our show and we love it. And, the fandom is amazing. And, I did come onto the call to hear Steph say that we're the best iZombie podcast on the internet. I'm just going to say we're one of them. And I'm so happy that, you know, other people have picked up a podcast mic to talk about the show too. This fandom is great. And I don't think Santa Clarita has that. It has, you know, people that watch it on Netflix because it's on Netflix. I wish iZombie caught on like that, but I'm not going to hold it against Drew Barrymore.
Absolutely.
Or Mr.
When,
Timothy Elefantastic.
Yes.
He's not, you know, he's not starving for roles. They're just coming out with the new Deadwood movie. He's getting stuff, you know. This isn't going to hurt him. Or Drew Barrymore for that case. So they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so when can we expect another installment of the iZombie podcast from you guys?
We have 2 bonus episodes coming out this week. We have another discussion. We're just wrapping up our Veronica Mars rewatch coverage. because we are going to cover the revival as kind of like a bonus to our podcast before we end it. So we do have the writer Dahlia Schweitzer coming on to talk about her book L.A. Private Eyes and to talk a bit about Veronica Mars. And today, actually, in just a couple hours, I'm going to be talking to writer Bob Dearden, who has been an amazing friend of the show, to kind of tease season 5. So I'm hoping to have both those out this week. And I think we're going to try iZombie is on Thursday nights now at 8. Fridays get a little busy, so we're going to try to record on the weekends and have it out for people for their morning drive time on Monday.
Yeah, and that would be fabulous. I'll definitely have to then start watching Veronica Mars so I can kind of see what the hoopla is about. But,
it's a rewatch for us. We did it in binge watch format. But we tried not to be spoilery. And the best part about not worrying about spoilers is that neither of us remembers anything. So we can easily talk about things and hypothesize about things and go, I think I remember what happens next, but not actually spoil it. So if you're new to Veronica Mars, it's coming on Hulu before the revival launches. So you can go back in our archives and listen along, like a few episodes at a time.
Yes, and anyone who is watching this, and not watching, wow, anyone who is listening to this, please, you know, go over and follow these guys on Twitter, Facebook, the iZombie podcast with Robin and Steph. I have enjoyed listening to your guys' podcast for so long now. You really do such a fantastic job, and I really hope that 5 wraps up for my zombie. Maybe I can get the two of you back on and we can do a best of season 5 together, just because even for, and I love my guys at Geek Vibes Nation, but I am literally the only one who watches iZombie. I'm like, so guys, you know, iZombie's coming out with its final season, let's do a recap. And they're all like, I've never watched this. And I was like, well, luckily who are fantastic fans, but
it'll be hard to say goodbye to it, so it'd be nice to have another chat. Yeah, sure.
It'll be so hard. I'm just not looking forward to it in a way. I'm like, you know, delay it 6 more months. It's okay. I can wait. yeah, that's just how it is. But Steph, Robin, thank you too so much for being here. I really appreciate your time and your contribution to our top 10.
And I
look forward to listening to your guys' next podcast. So everyone who's listening, please make sure again that you check out their podcast and also check out gvnation.com, where we have plenty of awesome content. We just did Avengers Endgame recap, and we have a fabulous top 10 next week, where we're going to be covering the top 10 moments from American Gods season 2. So everyone, have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Are we hanging up now?